Let's just call him a pain in the neck and be done with it.
Hello and welcome to edition 225, that's a lot, of the NRF1 podcast, because Norfolk knows Formula One. This is your F1 podcast straight out of Norfolk, UK. We are sat at the iconic Rushcutters Public House on the outskirts of Norwich. We are also going out on Future Radio, and we are here to review the British Grand Prix. Yes, F1, that is how you do it. We'll have a short shift ahead to Hockenheim too. Coming up, Ferrari, just about. No, Lewis, don't cry. And will I am stalling? I am sports journalist Michael Bailey, and joining us on tonight's pod, we have two times Beccles Kart champion Kyle Cumbers.
Good evening.
F1 blogger and the man Hamilton fans love to hate. You're going to have a good pod today. Callum Springle.
Good evening.
And I've got written here, budding F1 engineer, and now he is a graduate engineer at Williams Advanced Engineering. Oh, f*** me, brilliant. Dan Springle.
Good evening.
Dan, first time you've been on since you got your job at Williams. You're basically in Formula One as far as we're concerned now. Congratulations.
No, thank you. It's been a long time coming. I've just spent the last 4 years at university racking up all of this debt, so I may as well put it to good use.
Yes, indeed. I imagine the Grand Prix team could probably do with you at the moment as well.
I think possibly some of the work I'll be doing might be for the Grand Prix team, but we'll see.
So you've had one day, I think, popped in at Grove, isn't it, where they're based? One day. Have they specifically told you to be nice to Williams?
I don't know. I have told them about the podcast, but as far as I'm aware, they didn't say anything like, oh, please watch what you say or anything.
Okay, that's because... the kind of media training I love. Brilliant. Let rip. We'll try not to be too harsh on you, but at least they know you're doing a podcast.
It's like an open door for you, isn't it, Michael?
Yeah.
That sort of
yeah, yeah. That's exactly what I love. Remember, I'm a journalist. Bad enough with Kyle, because he's like a Haas lover, so we have to be careful with him, you know. But anyway, we're going to have some fun tonight. It's going to be a good pod. All right, I hope everyone is well. Let's get straight stuck into it, shall we? Silverstone, hard not to enjoy it. We weren't there this year, Kyle, which is, of course, a shame because we had a brilliant time last year. But still, what a spectacle, what a race.
It was a beautiful sunny day in the English countryside, wasn't it? And yeah, just the last 10 laps was just kind of motorsport porn, I thought. It was just it was just brilliant racing. It looked an awesome day, and I was a bit jealous of the people there.
Yeah. I could still, obviously, we were on Stowe Corner last year, weren't we? We're definitely going back there, and we're going to sit there because it's a brilliant place to watch the racing. I think on lap 44, I just said to myself, this is brilliant. And I've written that down as a quote. This is brilliant. Just watch it. You've got the Ferraris and the Mercedes battling. Obviously, you know, how they got there is one argument, but just a fantastic race. Callum, did you enjoy the race?
Reasonably.
Yes! Almost very reasonably there, I thought.
I guess very reasonably is fair enough.
What we're all kind of wondering, I guess, is whether, and I must admit I missed this over the weekend, whether there was anything that came up about Silverstone's future. Did we see anything in any stories? I was kind of anticipating that it would get discussed a lot during the weekend, but I don't know if I saw anything.
Well, Martin Brundle did interview Ross Brawn on the grid. I think he said something along the lines of, we are negotiating over Silverstone's future. But
right.
Added the caveat that doing negotiations in public makes it a little bit more difficult. So I guess he's kind of playing mind games with the BRDC.
I haven't heard anything extra. I didn't really get much of a chance to watch all of the extra bits and pieces other than the Grand Prix itself. But yeah, I think it would be a big shame to lose the British Grand Prix. I don't think it should ever happen, but British, that's of course what I'd say. So,
but then you watch a weekend like this weekend and the crowds and just the buzz around the weekend. I mean, it's not just us, that's just not the case at every race weekend. It would be a major, you know, we talk about several races Formula One can't drop. For me, this is definitely one of them.
It's got it all. It's got a brilliant racetrack, and was it over 300,000 people turn up over the weekend, and you get 140 on the Sunday. I mean, you can't, just the fan base, you can't get rid of a Grand Prix that brings that many people. It normally sometimes changeable weather as well, so normally that normally creates a good Grand Prix. It's just, yeah, it's perfect. So I'm sure they'll get something sorted.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. I'm sure they won't end up going to Vietnam instead of Silverstone. Will you chase? So fingers crossed. Of course, last year when we were there, Kyle, the two Ferraris, they blew up in terms of their tyres. The last race, both at basically exactly the same time, Silverstone went wild. It was quite the sight. Quite different this year. They nailed it.
Yeah, we all thought it would be a Mercedes track beforehand, but the Ferrari were very quick. I did have the thought of the guy who stood next to us last year, the one Ferrari fan within... huge amount of Lewis Hamilton fans.
Yeah, Seb fans, that wasn't he?
He was very dejected when at the end.
Still smiling at us, though,
yes,
wasn't he?
Yeah, he's still having a good time.
I can't remember his name. It's in our Silverstone review last year.
I'm sure you get it. And I did have a thought. Well, I'm sure if he's there this weekend, this Sunday, he'll be a very happy man. So I kind of thought, well, good on him.
Hope he went.
Yes.
Hope he wasn't like, oh, that was my one shot at the British Grand Prix. I'm never going again.
Do you remember a few years ago we had when we went to Silverstone in 2010.
Oh, there was the bloke that was like bowing to Michael Schumacher with that red flare, wasn't it?
And he had the endless supply of air horns.
Oh, it was like constant refreshment of air horns, and we were just like, oh, can you please just f*** off? The top fell off the first one, and we all looked at each other like, oh, thank God for that. And he bends over, brings out another one.
Yes! Aren't they your best Formula One fans? Just turn up with a bag of air horns, saying, I'm not stopping. This is it for the whole weekend. FP1, lights out. Probably there from the start.
But that's a proper throwback. That was back to when it was the arena circuit, not the Grand Prix track, and it was all in the national pit lane. That's a throwback.
It is a throwback indeed. This hasn't been a particularly lucky track for Ferrari either, Silverstone. Last time Ferrari won there?
2011.
With?
Alonso.
How about the time before that?
2003? Four. Schumacher. Oh, one?
No. Up.
Seven.
Yes.
Raikkonen.
Yes. Well done, Callum. You can claim that. That's perfectly fine. You talked a bit, mentioned, Kyle, how quick they were, Ferraris. I guess with what happened to Lewis, and we'll get stuck into that, maybe meant that it wasn't quite a straight observance of how quick Ferrari were compared to Mercedes. But they did seem to have a pace that no one could really compete with.
Fairly true sort of form with Mercedes, given that everyone would probably expect it to be a Mercedes circuit, especially with the slightly harder compound of tyre there as well. I think all things being considered, really, that the Ferrari chassis as well as the power unit, if you look at the... I noted in the first few laps that the top 10 was more or less dominated by Ferrari-powered cars, so I think Ferrari's power unit has come on to another whole level, so that's probably helping them somewhat around that circuit, and the chassis seems to be backing it up as well, so I think Ferrari have done a stunning job, and where they currently lie in the Constructors' Championship is actually well deserved. So,
can I just say, did anyone notice how hot it was at the weekend?
Yes. They were saying it was 52 degrees, weren't they, at track?
If you look at...
52 degrees!
It was the same in Austria, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if you look at Austria, Mercedes were struggling on race pace at least. And then you look at, I suppose, Bahrain as well, where it was also reasonably hot. And yeah, I know they're racing in the night and whatever, but still...
It's
all right. And they struggled there as well. So it's a kind of a theme with that car that they struggle in the hot temperatures, whereas Ferrari don't.
No. Who's in pole position as we said? We obviously haven't spoken about Mercedes yet, but where do Ferrari sit? They're clearly leading the championships, and they've extended their lead in both as well. So
I think it's still even. I think it's still going to depend on the track and conditions each weekend, so which means it's good for us. I think they're pretty even cars.
I hate to say it, but that's also the kind of weekend that does rule out Red Bull out of either championship, I think, for my money, most definitely. Right, a quick reminder, best places to interact with us are on social media, Twitter, Instagram. The handles are at the NRF1. At the NRF1 is a good handle for our Facebook page as well, because it will work. And there's a Facebook group there if you want to get involved in that. We love getting emails too, nrf1podcast@gmail.com. We read them all, I can assure you. And of course, our website, nrf1.uk. Helped point you in the right direction to all those and more. Shall we fire up the NRF1 pit stops? Yeah. Right then, I did promise it. Mercedes, let's get stuck in. I want to start with Valtteri Bottas first, because given what happened at the start, clearly Lewis was sort of... ruled out, really, of contention from that point on. We had the safety car later on. The Ferraris pitted. Red Bulls pitted as well, didn't they, I think? So it's just Mercedes sitting there twiddling their thumbs again under a safety car going, what should we do? And I think everyone, from commentators to Christian Horner to everyone else, was like, well, OK, fair enough with Lewis. He's playing catch-up, but you've got to pit Valtteri in that situation. I think even Valtteri said after the race, yeah, I should have pitted then.
Yeah, I think probably. It's definitely different with Hamilton, because after being punted off at the first... well, third corner.
That's almost the word he used.
Yeah. Well, I think, yeah, fair game with Hamilton, but I definitely think they should have pitted Bottas. But then perhaps they were trying to play the card of kind of track position as king, but not necessarily around Silverstone. It's plenty wide enough and some of the straights are plenty long enough to get some decent overtakes done, so I can see where they're coming from in trying to keep track position, but yeah, I definitely think wrong move there. So perhaps they have a bit more human emotional feel needs to go into it rather than trusting a computer.
Yeah, it's sort of muddled thinking, isn't it? And not for the first time.
I thought they made the right decision.
Oh! Well, that's you and Mercedes then.
I thought, well, if they pit him, he's going to finish second behind Vettel. He probably won't be able to overtake. So why not risk and go for the race win? And with Hamilton, they gained from being fifth, sixth to finishing second. So, as I said, the Hamilton one made sense, but Bottas put one up. It was risky and it nearly worked out. Maybe if there had been second safety car hadn't happened, maybe it may have worked. I don't know, with long on the tyres for the Ferraris, but why not have a go?
That's why you're here, Kyle. That's why you're here. Lewis Hamilton. Oh, I should probably come to you on this one, shouldn't I, Kyle? Where to start? So, I mean, wonderful pole, record-breaking pole, wasn't it, as well? I think it was number 65 off the top of my head. That might not be actually true. Record sixth successive pole? No. Sixth total pole at Silverstone, which equaled Ayrton Senna's record of most poles at your home Grand Prix. Of course, Lewis was going for a record fifth successive win at Silverstone as well, which didn't happen, mainly because, in the words of Dan, Kimi Raikkonen him off the track. Oh no, that wasn't what he said.
That'll do. That's good enough.
And of course, okay, let's first things first, the start. How did you see it, Callum?
Well, Hamilton up the start. Or something's f***ed up the start for him, and he's left about enough space for Raikkonen, but he's obviously made the mistake, so not really a lot he can do about it, to be fair.
I mean, that's a fair point. If Lewis makes a good start, he's not in that situation, is he? So there's an element of that. But then still, as you're in that situation, Kimi sort of oversteering into him. Kimi himself said the penalty was fair. Although he didn't say that in the radio during the race. But then miraculously after the race, he's like, yeah, that was right. Was it right?
I suppose. Only he was right to get a penalty. But when you look at his penalty relative to Vettel's and Paul Ricard, it starts to make a little bit less sense. Although my sort of 2 pence to that would be that Raikkonen had a lot more space than Vettel did. So perhaps that was the determining factor in whether it was 5 or 10.
Interesting that Charlie Whiting is the person who's actually gone on record having been asked and spoken about this. And the first thing he said was, it's nothing to do with me. I don't make the decisions. I'd only be guessing. So, okay, well, you're well qualified to answer it then, aren't you, Charlie? But he did answer it still, effectively saying, I don't know. There was a lot of criticism about the penalty Vettel got. Maybe they took that in mind when they made their decision, which would be that's a remarkable concession that Charlie probably shouldn't be conceding, but would that be relative to it? Because, I mean, yeah, ultimately 5 seconds probably possibly was a little bit lenient, and maybe this was right.
Well, some people do say that FIA stands for Ferrari International Assistance, so it depends what side of the argument you're on, doesn't it?
Yeah, people also say that it's that they're now on the side of Mercedes and that they're listening to their own criticisms of the FIA.
Say what you want, I suppose, but at the end of the day, I think in France, the gap was closing and Vettel didn't really have much else to go, and hence why he probably locked the brakes, because he thought, oh, here comes the gap. But I think Raikkonen, I think it's just an honest mistake, really, just too late on the brakes. Probably saw that Hamilton was very late on the brakes and tried to match him and didn't either have the car or the skill to do it. But then I think he just panicked a little bit, because you can see that he starts to wind on some steering lock, which will ultimately lock your inside tyre anyway. So I think it was almost destined to happen, really, from even the start, because Raikkonen was basically up his chuff anyway, wasn't he? And more or less trying to avoid everyone and anyone. And to be honest, Hamilton shouldn't have been there in the first place, should he? So,
to be fair, when you have different stewards every race, and therefore someone else interpreting the same rules, what do you expect to happen?
I was wondering that, but do they have some of them that are the same from each weekend, and then
like a rotation, yeah. I think.
Because all you want is consistency, and it did seem to be very muddled in terms of whether that was consistent or not. I mean, I do wonder if it had happened lower down the grid and it wasn't so relevant to the championship, whether they'd have just gone, oh, a racing incident, and just left it. I do think there's an element of that. And they've spoken to Charlie Whiting, but it would be interesting what the stewards would have to say, Carl.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll come out with a bit more detail, maybe in Germany, because in Austria, I believe it's Austria, they invited Anthony Davidson to watch from the stewards' room in first practice. I don't know if they were trying to be a bit more open to sort of say, this is the data we have, and can't explain it to all the viewers, and sometimes we make a decision, but we've got more data than you. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see if they come out and say why.
I didn't catch that, so I'm not going to now try and dig that out somewhere.
Just coming back to your point, Michael, I think you were kind of alluding to the, if it was lower down the grid, then perhaps it would have been put down as a racing incident, and that's precisely what happened in the Grosjean and Sainz incident.
Well,
so
I have to say, I had
Grosjean
that
and Magnussen.
I had that in the back of my mind, because I still haven't seen a replay of that, and I was thinking, I was just imagining what it had been like, and I'd imagined Grosjean just hitting him, to be honest.
It's very similar, but he hit him in the sort of side of the car.
Yeah, okay. And that was a racing incident, don't forget.
Yeah, but I do wonder if they're because they're teammates.
Yeah, and, you know, one of them's got a sort of racing handicap at the moment in terms of his time. Of course, back to the front crash. Of course, Lewis's very reasonable conclusion was that Ferrari are just punting Mercedes off the track and purely deliberate. It was clear from the moment he basically f***ed off after he got out of the car, and Martin Brundle was going, I'll just catch up with Lewis.
Oh. It's like being in the supermarket and some kids lost their mum, and it's like, oh, couldn't so-and-so please come to the customer services desk, please?
Fortunately, the TV director managed to find him waking his way to the green room in the corner, talking to himself, which was handy, before Martin Brundle announced, it's all right, we'll get him off the podium, when he'll have no way of escaping. By which time, of course, Lewis had already decided what he was going to say, which was basically they punted me off the track with their interesting tactics. I mean, Lewis is emotional. It's obviously a very difficult weekend. I think he obviously had pressure at his home weekend that he wanted to deliver something special. But this is a conspiracy theory of remarkable proportions that maybe the drivers themselves should know better, really, shouldn't they?
Yeah, and well, I think both Hamilton and Mercedes are throwing their toys out of the pram, and if you ask me, he's being a bit of a princess. And then I'd also seen he'd said, quoted by Autosport, that he was struggling to stand at the end of the race after he'd gotten out of the car.
Well, he looked all right to me.
Yeah, and then
we moved
and then
very quickly to the green room.
And my first thought was, well, I mean, you should be one of the fittest people in the world right now. And if you think about physically exhausted, if I think of that, I think of Senna not being able to get out of the car, and then he even powered through it and holding the Brazilian flag up on the podium all that time ago. So, I think Hamilton's just a bit of a pansy, really, isn't he?
Like I say, you could be a prince or a princess, but the point still stands. It was lovely that they did get to discuss it all in the post-race press conference, sat next to each other. If you just, it was on the Twitter, the F1 Twitter feed, I'm sure you can catch it or whatever, and Seb's expression while Lewis is just saying, wow, you know, basically they shoved me off the track, is basically what he said.
I'm going to say, it's also feeling in Mercedes, because Toto Wolff said that James Allison called it the driver, was it incompetent or
deliberate or incompetent?
Yeah, deliberate or incompetent.
James Allison said that about his former employers and their driving. Yeah.
And Toto Wolff.
That's not sour grapes at all, is it?
Toto Wolff kind of chucked him under the bus, though, didn't he? It's like James Allison
really
said
did.
This. It's like
he does like doing that, Toto. I'm not going down with you, mate.
I don't know if it's kind of a feeling through Mercedes at the moment. Obviously, James Allison following getting sacked a little bit unfairly. But
just imagine him on the radio.
He got sacked. He got sacked.
Did he though?
Well, I'll take Kyle's work. Yeah, Kyle's definitely say. Kyle might have an idea about that. I can just imagine him on the radio now to Kimmy. Plan T, Kimmy, for t***ing Lewis off the track. Just do that, that'd be great. And Kimmy was like, I'm sorry, shit happens. Love Kimmy, who I thought had a great race, by the way. I'm sure Lewis will pick himself up, take it on the chin, and move on to Germany without mentioning it at all.
He did apologise today.
He did. His reaction.
Yeah, sometimes you say dumb shit or something.
You said what?
Sometimes you say dumb shit or something. So
or just behave like a dumb shit for about 20 minutes. That was really what happened.
Yeah.
He still came out and said hello to the fans, though, like we got to take in last year.
Well, we nearly touched him, didn't we?
Did we nearly touch him? What were you doing? I was just standing there.
It's crowd surfing. We weren't that far away, were we?
Was it? Yeah. Oh, I blocked it out. I was burnt by that point. I think we all were quite sunburned.
We barely said hello on the sky coverage. You literally climbed up a fence, waved, and b***ed off again.
He's apologised now. It's fine, Dad. Don't worry. We love Lewis. What goes there apart from Carl? Let's stop off at Red Bull next, shall we? They looked a little short of pace. As I've kind of said, it's races like this that underpins why they're not going to challenge for the title, really, as much as we'd love them to. Max Verstappen's kind of luck ran out again, didn't it, with brake by wire, and it seemed to cause him sort of issues and all sorts. They tried things that didn't really work, and yeah,
I think we've just seen the fact that at the minute the Red Bull's just not the complete car. We can obviously see that it's got very good downforce because they completely dominated it in Monaco, even with a broken car. and you take it to somewhere a bit more open, and they're nearly a second, like half a second back.
So is that the engine then? Is that Renault? Because, I mean, Max said beforehand, 80 brake horsepower difference, something like that.
It probably doesn't help that they can't accommodate the new MGUK or whatever it is for the Renault, which supposedly has the qualifying mode on it. So
party mode.
Oh yeah.
Dan, you were shaking your head.
Well, with drag or with downforce comes a drag, so to a point, depending on how efficient your aero package is, then it kind of dictates how much wing you can run and your ultimate performance then. So perhaps even Mercedes and Ferrari have sacrificed a bit of downforce for a bit more of an efficient package to go with the perhaps slightly more powerful power unit. So I think it's probably a bit of both. It can't really be singled down to any one thing.
Daniel Ricciardo, his future is sort of being still discussed, and we're probably going to talk about the driver's market in our Patreon podcast, so hold on, everyone. As for our third pit stop, you've got a choice, McLaren or Williams. What would you like to talk about? Let's quick vote.
Williams.
McLaren.
Oh, sorry, Dan. We'll talk
about... He's my employer.
Probably best that we don't talk about them, actually. We'll talk about them in the Patreon podcast.
Yeah, they'll have to pay to listen to that one.
Exactly, yeah. So you'll probably be in the clear.
That'd be a problem, to be fair.
So in that case, we'll talk about McLaren here. Okay, so... Eric Boullier has left, sacked, resigned. I think he resigned, didn't he? I think that was the... And then, well, Kyle's doing his not sure. Yeah, yeah.
Did he resign? Was he sacked?
Kyle's a bit more, yeah, whatever. Yeah, shoved out of the door whilst resigning. See, something that the British government does do very well. Yes, thank you, Callum, on the same lines there. Right, breaking news. Has anyone else gone? Yeah. So there was that. Zach Brown, well, you know, we're going to be competitive, but it could be anything between 2 to 10 years. So he's giving himself an 8-year window. Very good. I don't know what his notice period is on his contract. I mean, ultimately, it was a decent drive, wasn't it, from Fernando Alonso, given he started, I can't remember, 13th, was it? 13th,
yeah.
So a decent drive. Him and Magnussen had lots of fun all weekend. Oh, yes. But, I mean, it just seems, I think we've talked about this before, McLaren's hierarchy, the structure changes every 12 months. How can you possibly have a consistent approach to your car if you haven't got a consistent approach to your leadership?
Was it Tim Goss they sacked?
Yeah.
Or he resigned a few months ago. So, Boullier, he wasn't designing the car. They sacked him on his running the team the weekends, then fair enough. But it's just a complete mess at the moment. I don't really know where they go from here. They've got to try and find some pace in a car, but that could take a while, and I think I said it before, they've got to stop trying to make Alonso happy and move forward. That's all they seem to be doing at the moment, is trying to make Fernando Alonso happy,
which will be great until about December time when he leaves.
Yeah, I think it was, to be fair, quite an impressive drive from Alonso to drag a car up to that position that basically doesn't work aerodynamically.
But why? How can the best chassis on the grid not work? Cool.
I get that people are taking the piss out of McLaren basically because they built themselves up like that, but if you look at it differently, they're basically the same as Renault. I mean, they've got the same power unit as well, and they started off last year in basically the same position that Renault were in 16. So from 16 to 17, Renault made a certain jump, and from last year to this, McLaren have made more or less the same jump. It's just that they're having correlation issues. So really, it's not that bad. It's just that the derision comes from how much they were kind of building themselves up as the team that they once were.
That's the weight around their shoulders. That won't be going away. We'll talk about Williams in the other podcast. Much more pit stops and chat about the 2018 British Grand Prix. All the talking points will be in our exclusive Patreon podcast. To hear that and more, check out patreon.com/nrf1, patreon.com/nrf1, right after this podcast. So it's off the weekend's time. As always, let's trip through these because we may repeat some of the points we've already made. Rodolfo Gonzalez, driver of the weekend. Who gets your vote?
It's a difficult one, really. I'm really struggling.
Oh, I'm not.
Go on.
Charles Leclerc.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he was, 6 tenths ahead of Ericsson in qualifying. Put a Sauber in, whatever it was, 7th in the race, or 8th in the race, chasing Hülkenberg. Had they not had the tyre, or had the tyre gone on properly, could have undercut Hülkenberg and ended up finishing 6th in a Sauber on pace, apart from one position.
At a power track. Fair play.
I'm going to have to give mine to Alonso, I think.
Yeah. No one giving it to Lewis for being basically last after a lap and then finishing second. Callum's beaming at me. I would give it to Lewis personally.
Hulkenberg.
So would the public, by the way.
Hulkenberg.
Oh,
best of the rest, and also he used a hard tire.
Yeah.
Kudos for that.
It wasn't the wet tire though. Yeah.
There's no rain, I suppose, is one way. Good. I thought Kimi had a good weekend as well. I'd just like to say that. I thought Kimi threw it around a bit.
Apart from the first lap, I probably would have given it to
threw it around a bit, yeah. Kyle. Threw it around a bit. Team of the weekend.
I'll
give it to Williams, I'm afraid.
No, not for the problems they've been having.
Wait, keep going.
Don't slate him too much. No, you'll end up like me.
Failing to be objective about Lewis Hamilton.
Since 2011.
I thought it was 2012.
I'm trying to tell you. Oh, yeah. Well, you were probably a year early.
It's two carriages for Rich.
Well done. Was it not three?
No, it was definitely two. You sure?
Can't even argue over the number of carriages, boys. Right, come on. Team of the weekend.
I think I'm going to have to give it to Ferrari.
Ferrari.
Is this team of the weekend? Yeah, probably Ferrari.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah.
Okay. The only nudge I wanted to do was for the F1 media team. Because they've set up their own official Formula One podcast. Mm. Oh,
I think Penn said in the WhatsApp group, we're having a pod off.
Pod off. Yeah. I don't want to be offensive of anyone. We've got one of our many wonderful podders. And then the F1 pod. Yeah, we've got Alonso. We've got Lewis Hamilton. Yeah. All right, whatever. We hear them every weekend. You don't hear from Steve Rust. We do.
We're in a pub where Colin Chapman and Graham Hill once shared a pint.
Yes!
And Norfolk knows. So, there we go.
We've got a bona fide engineer, a bona fide correspondent, and a bona fide man on the inside at a team.
Someone that works
there. What's that, Colin? So, well done, F1 team. I reckon we might talk a little bit more about that. I haven't listened to it yet. So, no, has anyone listened to it yet?
No. Most of it.
Yeah? Good?
Yeah.
The thing is, completely different to what we do, isn't it? I mean, if the official Formula One podcast was doing what we were doing, can you imagine it? What the f*** is this shit? So, you know, I'm totally relaxed, in the words of a certain Norwich City manager or head coach. And Pastor Maldonado of the weekend. Got a bit of a list here. Who goes? Nominations, go.
Rogue Ray.
Taking out his teammate.
Yeah, and binning Sainz off as well. So there we go. That's mine.
So you're saying
I'm going for Rogue Ray, yeah.
His fault for the Sainz crash as well?
Not 100%, but 75-25.
Love it. That's your odds. Good shout.
Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah.
For storming off and then accusing Ferrari of a load of, what do you call it, humbug. Playing silly but.
Humbug. What a word that is. I've probably beeped it twice so no one knows what it is, but it's a great word.
No, what I liked about it was that later on he said he stormed off or walked off or however you want to term it to compose himself, yet he still accused Ferrari of taking him out on purpose.
But he did it very composedly rather than going the so he took me out of the track. Surely it should be hamburg really, shouldn't it? And I probably have to beat that as well, so we'll say it all on the Patreon podcast.
Really that offensive though?
Yeah, I'd say it's probably a bleepable word. It's quite offensive. Yeah, maybe not in your world, Callum, but in the public,
it's offensive in my world.
Literally, anything goes. Well, they're my top two, Kyle.
We're going to have to go.
Lemon. Forgot about that.
The obvious one is Grosjean.
Yep.
But I'm going to go for Van Dorn.
Oh yes.
But just being very average at the moment.
Oh, is he having a stinker of a season? Where's he gone?
I don't know. It's just horribly average.
Horribly average. I wanted to give it honourable mentions to the safety car driver for going too quick. Come on. How does that happen? Sort that out. And Sauber and Ericsson. Ericsson for managing to bin the car at the end of the DRS zone, which is exactly what Rich predicted.
I saw some news about that today. Okay. Apparently, he went to press the DRS close button and his finger slipped. And so he chucked it into turn one as he normally would with the DRS closed, hence why he spun it round and binned it. But normally if you have the DRS open you're a bit more gentle on the steering wheel.
So effectively he slipped but he thought he'd still pressed it.
Yeah, essentially.
I mean that's pretty unfortunate.
It's the same mistake as Grosjean in free practice, wasn't it?
Possibly.
I think he slipped. I hit a bump and...
Well, you know, Ericsson's done one thing.
It was just 2 days late in following him into the wall, wasn't he?
And of course then, therefore Sauber for unsafely releasing Charles Leclerc and ending his very promising race, Callum. Giuliano Salvi, moment of the weekend.
Lewis Hamilton's pole lap.
Oh!
It was yeah, it was quite a good weekend because it's the, obviously you all know Hamilton's very emotional, but it was there how he channeled his emotion in the right way on Saturday and in probably the wrong way on Sunday.
It's why we love talking about him. Even Callum loves talking about Lewis Hamilton. Anyone else? Sometimes, yeah.
Probably in the sort of opening laps of the race when Hamilton was constantly complaining about how damaged his car was, when you can visibly see it was not damaged at all.
Sorry, Lewis, we can't see anything wrong with your car at all. Just get on with it, thanks. Good shout.
I think I have two. Am I allowed to?
Yeah,
okay, so the first one for me would be the one that got me the biggest reaction would be Hamilton being punted off.
Yeah.
And then the next one for me would be Verstappen and Raikkonen giving it handbags down about half a lap. So, yeah, I think that would probably be mine as well.
Great shout. As I said, lap 44, when all the top two teams, top four drivers, within a second or two of each other, you're just like, this is f-ing brilliant. And Toro Rosso. No one does suspension failure like a Toro Rosso, do they? We remember when Sebastian Buemi's two front wheels just popped off. I can't remember where it was. Can you remember?
China.
Good shout, everyone. And then Brendan Hartley. I mean, it was like the wheel went round and went, you know what, I'm just going to slash myself right free of here. I don't want to be here at that speed. And obviously that effectively just about ruled Brendan Hartley out of the race. So there we go. I suppose well done to Sebastian Vettel as well, who managed to race through the pain barrier of his pain in the neck. Did we know why he had a pain in the neck?
I don't know.
Three races in 3 weeks?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Probably just a long triple header.
See, we avoided the Lewis Hamilton joke there. That's good.
What was the Lewis Hamilton joke?
Well, that he was his pain in the neck.
Yeah, but he wasn't, though, really, in the end.
I mean, if they'd gone wheel to wheel on the last lap, then maybe you might have got away with that one, Michael.
Might have done. Race rating. Out of 11, I have failed in this triple header to write down what we rated Austria last time out. I think it was quite high. I think we were in sort of 9 territory. I loved the Austrian Grand Prix. I thought it was brilliant. A little bit of chaos. Had us keeping on the edge of our seats until the end. And I guess this one did to a degree. Late lead change, 2 safety cars, action all across the weekend. So did you think it was better than Austria is probably a question, and then figure it out from there.
It was on a par with Austria, I think. The opening laps were just as dramatic, I feel. Kind of the early to middle part of the race wasn't quite as dramatic, but as soon as the 2 safety cars were there, it was more or less a Formula Ford sprint to the end. So, yeah, I'd say it's level par with Austria. I'd give it a 9.
I still think that Bahrain was the best race of the season, to be honest.
Better than Baku?
Oh, the controversy. Probably, because Bahrain was an actual race, rather than, I don't know.
Carnage.
But yeah, kind of. So I'd probably give it like a solid 8.
I thought it was better than Austria, so 9.5.
9.2. There we go. Very arbitrary amount. Who'll have the biggest smile heading home on their plane?
Daniel Ricciardo.
Oh, okay, why not? Now you can make sure you catch all our NRF1 podcasts by subscribing via your podcast player of choice, Android, Apple, whichever. nrf1.uk/podsubscribe is the place to look for lots of links. If yours isn't there, just let us know with an email to nrf1podcast@gmail.com. I believe we are on the Google podcast feed, so you can subscribe via the new Google podcast player. But if you have any issues anywhere, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, wherever, let us know with that email. And of course, if you're having a look on iTunes and you get your podcast via their podcast app, leave us a rating and a review. We love them, positive or not, because it amuses us and it's good, and we appreciate your feedback all the time, all of us, honest.
Hello everyone, this is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I did give you some beers. Germany next then, round 11. It's hanging on in there, isn't it? Had a year out and then sort of somehow worked its way back. Big weekend for Mercedes. Obviously, it's their home race and they won't want to be making any mistakes. So, and we've obviously been quite passionate about Britain. Are we as passionate about Hockenheim?
We deserve a German Grand Prix, but Hockenheim...
Where would you hold it?
Nürburgring? Just because I've been there. And I love the Nürburgring.
Add it to our list. We are going to have to go to a race next year.
Yeah. And Hockenheim isn't quite as good as it was, which is a bit of a shame. But yeah, we definitely deserve a Grand Prix there. But unfortunately, not enough Germans turn up for the Grand Prix. So.
Well, is it too expensive because of the price? I mean, I wonder if Hockenheim are one of those going, Chase, can we drop the price, please?
Could we just take a leaf out of the 90s book and take it to Zolder and still call it the German Grand Prix?
Well, that's kind of like going, let's take it to Belgium and rename it the German Grand Prix, because Spa, Spa is so close to the German border anyway, so you probably get away with it.
So we named Spa the German Grand Prix.
It's like Nürburgring hosted the Luxembourg Grand Prix.
Brilliant. But let's just rename them all the European Grand Prix and have 10 European Grand Prix a season. That would work. We don't really know what the situation is with the calendar for next year, do we? Yeah.
Not as of yet, no. But I'd imagine Germany won't be on it, because I think since Nürburgring dropped out of the agreement, Hockenheim has carried on with like the alternate year agreement, hence why it's back this year and wasn't last year. But I think this year it expires, so it won't be on the calendar in 2 years' time.
We shall see. It's hold us a chance. I wonder what will come in instead. Vietnam? Time for the Vietnam Grand Prix?
Will Miami be?
Miami. Probably.
Yeah.
Miami.
It'll be an overseas race. Get away.
Yeah. Motorsport.com. I saw a bit on motorsport.com. It was a prime subscribe one, so I obviously didn't read it beyond the first paragraph because I'm not paying for that. Basically saying, all the TV channels, they need to up their game. You know, it's going to be a key pillar to Formula One going forward, how it's covered on TV. I'm like, well, no one can watch it. It's not free to air. And likewise, you've just launched your own F1 TV. So you're literally undermining the fact that you want broadcasters to broadcast it.
And stop putting Heineken stupid things over tracks. Yeah.
Now, you've reminded me of the one thing I was supposed to do today, which was watch the Nico Rosberg Heineken advert. He's done a Heineken advert. I haven't seen it yet.
A few times.
It's quite ironic. Yeah, it is.
We have Sky Sports on while I'm working away. I'm a sports journalist, I'm allowed. And so I've not heard it. I've only seen it. So I know he sort of talks to someone, gets in a car, and they're like, ooh, Nico. But I don't know what... All I imagine them saying is this hitting the spot, Nico? No. Is this hitting the spot, Nico? No. Only this hits the spot, Heineken. Is that what happens?
It's sort of like, you know, he gets on the scales and his trainer's like, oh, yeah, it's only £1 over, Nico. So he gets back on the bike. And then
he suddenly spawns to going around Barcelona Grand Prix circuit, and then he comes in
to pole and everything. Yeah. And he goes to the pub, and all his mates say, "Oh, come on, Nico, it's only one beer." And he goes, "Oh no, thanks, I'm still driving."
off, Nico. It's been a while, but
the best is when they open the garage, don't they? At like six o'clock in the morning, and it sort of ticks as they're opening the door, which I think is a bit harsh on the blokes walking in because they're a minute late.
Yeah,
and it's just. And also the one about the car not lined up on the grid, like an inch off. But actually, they do line a little bit back, don't they, to lay rubber down before they go off on the start line. Or stop line. It's just.
I'm not surprised you didn't get halfway through it and just go, nah, quit. But maybe that's the second edition that we'll get later. Okay, sorry, Nico. Predictions then. We love a prediction here, don't we? So let's make predictions. As I said, this has been a triple header, which is completely f***ing over. Not a chance, I'm afraid. I've had a few days off. I'm allowed. I don't know what the prediction league standings are. I don't know who's won the last few weekends. But we will catch up. I will catch up all that ahead of the next podcast, which is in a fortnight. Brilliant. So I will let you all know and who's won the prizes and what have you. Got all the predictions, so don't worry about that. And it doesn't preclude you from entering the prediction league, especially if you're a Patreon. Do it. It's part of your package. All you need to do is get in a maximum of 5 predictions, and you need to make those before the start of FP1 around Hockenheim. We get a go at making one prediction straight off the bat right now. Dan, you're an official engineer now. You can make the first prediction.
There will be 4 Mercedes-powered cars in the top 10 in the race.
Boom.
That's quite
just
optimistic,
like that.
Because your employers aren't going to do sh. Oh well.
He's backing Williams to turn it round.
Well, it's Force India. Don't write them off.
Callum, your prediction.
Sebastian Vettel will win his home Grand Prix.
Oh, good job it's not in Belgium. Kyle.
I think with all the great weather we're having at the moment in Europe, it's going to pour down in 2 weeks in Germany.
Yeah.
And Nico Hülkenberg is going to achieve his first podium.
How many kudos points do you get for that?
So much time on the blue tyre.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Alive. Well, there we go. Le Mans winner. Lemons winner. Nico Hülkenberg on the podium. Yeah. Lemons. So what my prediction is, that's not going to happen. My prediction. Oh, I do. Okay. Good shout on Seb. I do like that shout. There'll only be one Mercedes on the podium. There you go. That's a downgrade from saying there wouldn't be any on the podium at Silverstone. So I'm going to, there'll be only one, and I'm not going to say which, but one Mercedes. One won't be on the podium. Imagine that. So there we go. We'll see how that pans out. And the rest of the predictions will follow on our Patreon podcast, where we will also bring you up to date with our Fantasy League standings. don't know. Again, back-to-back weekends. Not a hope. But we'll update our team and see how we did at Britain. Pretty poorly, I think, because I think Roman got the recall. Whose idea was that? So yeah, shocking. I'm not even changing my team and it's doing brilliantly, so if I just avoid getting involved in it, I'm really quite handy. Anyway, we are done. We're over time again, as we always are, but that is us. Remember, if you want to hear more from us about the Silverstone action and talking points, our full Hockenheim predictions or opinions on the big F1 news and everything in between, take in our exclusive bonus Patreon podcast, including Marketing Solutions, Making a Point, and What the F*** Was All That About? I mean, that's three very vague headlines. For that and a whole load of extra content, you remember that the address is Patreon, patreon.com/NRF1. We will return with E226, our own German review, as we round up all the action from Hockenheim, plus another bonus Patreon edition, all shortly after round 11 of the 2018 Formula One Championship. In the meantime, thanks to Future Radio and the Rush Cutters, and goodbye from the crew, from Dan.
Bye.
Callum.
Bye.
Kyle.
Cheerio.
And me, Michael. Very good night to you. This has been the NRF1 podcast. It's back to reality in the real world. A fortnight break with the summer break in sight too. And we'll see you the other side of all the Deutschland delight. Until then, good night.